Blessed greetings, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Tuesday Tune-Up with Pastor Shirley Johnson. You know, during this restoration destination, I have been thoroughly enjoying the warmth of the sunshine that is Jesus Christ. I've also been learning how to rest in the perfected work of the cross. And I pray that you too have been getting a refresher from the Lord as we've journeyed together during the series. Did you know that restoration is part of the amenities package on this voyage? That's right. As a part of your restoration destination premier package, you get a fluffy pair of It Is Well slippers to support you as you walk out this life. In addition, we have a restored and new robe to wrap you in the warmth of God's comfort. And there's also a made whole coffee bar in your room just to give you the sweet aroma of God's presence so you can relax your senses. We most certainly cannot forget the God Himself extras that restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you on your journey. This series, this journey through restoration destination, we've come to understand that God's plan for us is bigger than just salvation alone. It's healing, it's deliverance, it's restoration. Today, as we close this impactful series, we can float home with the knowledge, we can float with the understanding that restoration is our portion and that God is restoring the years. Yes, everything that the enemy has stolen from us throughout the years, God is going to restore and make us whole. Joel 2:25 and 26 says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." I absolutely love the heart of God for his people. It's not enough to just restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. He takes it a step further and declares a recouping for everything we've lost. He's restoring the years. This series has me so overjoyed. I'm telling you, this word has been so alive in me all month long because of the confidence that I gain in knowing that God does the work in me himself. Listen, before we hit dry land and begin to walk out this word, let's pray and get tuned up in the word of God together. Father, we thank you for loving us with such a perfect love. We thank you for not only saving us, but restoring us, for confirming us, for strengthening us and establishing us for the journey you've set in course for us. In you, we cannot be moved. In you, O Lord, we lack nothing. In you, every year that the locust, cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm have eaten, you will restore. Let this message today and this entire series live eternally in our hearts so that we never have to second guess who we are or to whom we belong. So we never, ever have to relinquish to the enemy our God-given, God-secured identity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Oh man, listen, the modus operandi of the enemy has always been to kill, to steal, and to destroy. This has been his pattern of behavior from the beginning. He is very good at it. He's a serial killer. He's a serial stealer. He's a serial destroyer. Ah, but God, listen, God holds the keys to recovering the relationships that he's killed throughout the years and all the vision that he's stolen from you. And even the opportunities that he's destroyed over the year, God is restoring those years to you. He's taking account of everything that we've lost over the years, and he's making restitution for it. God wants to restore us completely, not just heal our broken places or replenish our dry spaces, but also return to us all that has been taken from us during our journey. I'm hard-pressed to find a stronger, more familiar account than the life of Job, which vividly depicts the restoration of all things lost. Before we dive into the crux of Job's restoration found in Job 42:10 through 17, it's important that we first become acquainted with his life and his story. As we read the book of Job, we discover a lot about his life. But more importantly, we discover a lot about his character. Job resided in the land of Uz. He was blameless and an upright man. He reverenced God. He rejected evil, all things right. He had a wife and 10 children. He was very financially wealthy, owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and countless servants. In fact, Job was a well-to-do and very highly respected. And most people would say that he was quite the man on the scene. While some recognize the greatness of Job's life, like many people in our circles, there were a few haters. We like to call them undercover fans and people wanting to see his demise. For all intents and purposes, people might say that Job had it going on. He had a great God, amazing family, huge fortune, loyal servants, not a bad life at all. However, as we learned last week, life sometimes comes at you fast, and this was no different for Job. As the account continues, we find God and Satan having this conversation about Job, his loyalty to God and the reason for it. Satan, the accuser, suggests that Job's loyalty results from all that God has blessed him with. I mean, why wouldn't he serve you? Haven't you put a hedge of protection around him? Listen, you've given his household everything. You've protected his household. I mean, Satan then says, listen, you've blessed the work of his hands so that his flock and his herds spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything. Yeah, you take away everything he has, then surely he will curse you to your face. This is the same accusation that Satan makes to God about you and me. God knows Job's character and allows Satan to test Job. Being the overzealous adversary that he is, Satan wastes no time in attacking Job. One day, Job's sons and daughters they're having a cookout at the oldest brother's house when a messenger comes to Job and reports that oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and some Sabans came in and they attacked them, stole all of the animals, and then also killed his servants, with only the messenger escaping. Now, while this servant was still giving his report of what had occurred with the animals, another came and said, listen, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants. I'm the only one that got away. I'm the only one escaped to tell you what happened. Then, as if these reports were not enough, another servant comes while that servant is still speaking. And he says, listen, the Chaldeans formed a 3 raid parties and they swept down and they've taken the camels. They've made off with them and they've killed all of the servants who were tending except me. Yet again, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, listen, your sons and daughters were having a party at their older brother's house when suddenly a wind swept through and it struck the four corners of the house. The house collapsed on them. Your children, they're all dead, and I alone am left alive. But Job 1:20-22 says, at this point, Job gets up and he tears his robe, he shaves his head, then he falls to the ground in worship. And he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Might we all be a Job? In an instant, one right behind the other, Job had practically lost everything. His 10 children, all but 4 of his servants, his financial wealth, his 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, his 500 yoke of oxen, and the 500 donkeys. We later learn that even his wife and friends, yeah, they even turned their backs on him. His wife encourages him just to curse God and die. You're pitiful. While his friends badger and berate him about the possibility of sin in his life being the cause of all this calamity. Do you know what the crazy part is? We haven't even gotten out of chapter 1. While the exact time frame of Job's suffering is unknown, Some historians and theologians guesstimate that the period between loss and recovery occurred about over a 2-year period. Others, on the other hand, hint at 42 months as a great tribulation type of foreshadowing. However, what is explicitly clear in the role of is the role of forgiveness in the restoration process. Job 42:10 reads, "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Job could not afford to allow bitterness and unforgiveness to root up in his heart. Now, I'm sure he was hurt, maybe even angered by the comments and the allegations of his friends. I mean, this was his inner circle. These weren't associates. And there was not an encouraging word among them. We've all experienced something like this, a situation where we've been spiritually embattled and people we thought were friends were like vultures circling a dead carcass, awaiting for what they believe to be our imminent demise. Job, because he was a man of godly character, acted within his character and forgave his friends, finding restoration from God, receiving twice as much as he had before the loss. As we continue reading Job chapter 42, we discover that Job recovers all. Then all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him and his house. And they consoled him and comforted him over all the distressing adversities that the Lord had brought on him. And each one of them gave him a piece of money and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first daughter, Jemiah, and the name of the second, Kazai, and the name of the third, Karen Hapuk. In all the land, there were found no women so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived for 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations. So Job died an old man, full of days. Listen, hard times come. Even once eased, they can leave behind a trail of destructive residue that will produce feelings of anger, bitterness, frustration, and unforgiveness. However, the account of Job's life shows us that we do not have to accept this course. We can, even when engulfed with calamities, choose forgiveness and accept restoration. The lesson of life that I've learned personally, and that was reinforced by the life of Job, is that I am more desperate for the restoration of God in my life. It is more important to me than keeping someone in a prison of unforgiveness. I would rather free them and be restored whole. God's double portion is better in my life than my double portion of punishment to someone else. I've discovered that even in painful events, when they cease, that great trail of wreckage can go away. This hauling process is the essence of restoration in its most basic form through forgiveness. Restoration is designed to heal you from your deepest point of hurt and remove all the debris caused by the hard times. The word says that Job, after having forgiven his friends, received restoration. He lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons for 4 generations, dying an old man full of days. He was restored. All the years, all the trial, tribulation. There's a popular song. It's a gospel song, and it's called Redeeming the Years. And the lyrics of the song say, "There's a beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. The Father hasn't forgotten about you. A double portion for your shame. Hallelujah. He is here to make all things new. Come receive the harvest for all you've sown in tears. He's rewriting the story. He's redeeming the years." Perhaps you're listening today and the words of that song are resonating with you. You are seeking restoration. You're desiring beauty for your ashes. Maybe you feel alone, destitute, separated from God. I come to remind you that the Father hasn't forgotten about you. In fact, He's waiting to give you a double portion for your shame. He is the God, the one who makes all things new. So today I urge you, come and receive the harvest. The harvest for all you've sown in tears. God is rewriting your story. Today, He's redeeming your years. This sweet place of restoration is a gift of being in relationship with God. Let us walk you through the process of salvation. It is the best and most powerful move you will ever make in your entire life. Salvation is not something that can be bought or earned or garnered by any other means. It results from accepting Christ alone. It's through His grace. In fact, the Bible says that it is by grace that we are saved through faith, not of our own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. So no one can even boast about it. If you desire to take advantage of the free gift of salvation, just repeat after me. Father, I know I am a sinner, but right now I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. And through my confession, I am saved. And Jesus is my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Teach me more about your love and how I can love others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm excited for you. If you've just prayed that prayer, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to message me at TuesdayTuneUp1@gmail.com because we would love to praise God with you. And we want to welcome you properly to the family of Christ. Now, be sure to get connected to a teaching church in your community where you are going to be able to grow in the knowledge of God, be encouraged through Christian fellowship, and where you're also going to be able to increase your faith. Lastly, I would ask that you would go out and like and subscribe. Set us as a favorite on all of your podcast channels so that you never, ever miss an episode. We want to walk out this journey with you, and we want you to be successful. Now, Father, bless us as we leave this place, but never your presence. Be with us. Encourage us through this week. Encourage us through this word. Let us know, Lord God, that restoration is our portion, that we can receive it freely of you, and that through forgiveness, we can see a wholeness take place in our own lives just by releasing someone else. Now you keep us all this week. Let this word flourish us. Let it feed us. In Jesus' name we pray. We cannot wait to see you again next week.